For regulars here, we've got the series in these chapters of Luke, and they teach us about what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the Christ, God's promised one, the special one, and you need to follow me, but it won't be easy. And this is what it looks like. Those of us who believe in Jesus, this is teaching on being disciples. It's a vital thing to hear to enjoying our life with God. If you don't yet believe in Jesus, if you're not sure what you believe this morning, then this is a chance just to look in on the life of a Christian, see what it's about, and see what we believe about our King. The story is relatively straightforward, verse 38 there. Jesus and disciples, they're trotting around the area. They come to a village, and a woman named Martha opens her home. She says, come on in, I'll look after you. She's got this sister Mary, and they're there to look after them. But Mary doesn't help very much, does she? She sits at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Martha's distracted by all the preparations, and she spots her sister just sitting there. So she comes to the Lord and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? This is one of those questions that expects a positive answer. Surely you are going to tell her, stop being a lazy bones and come and help me in the kitchen, Lord, aren't you? That is the expectation. But instead, Jesus answers, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but Mary has chosen what is better, this one thing. Jesus is loving to Martha, but he puts her straight. And this unexpected answer is remembered and recorded for us here in the Bible. She has chosen what is better, Jesus says. So we're going to spend some time. Why is it better to be listening to Jesus? Well, there's a straight contrast between this passage and the one just before, which we looked at last week. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Again, a really well-known story. Jesus has taught the parable of the Good Samaritan in order to tell people, go and do likewise. Be a good neighbor to all you come across. Love your neighbor as yourself. You may remember that story. But then in this passage, Jesus commends listening. And next week, in our next passage, he's going to talk about praying. So what is it? Are we to go and do, or are we to go and spend time with God and listen and pray? Should we do love to our neighbour, or should we stop and spend time with God, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? I've been thinking about these passages, and I've been reminded of Star Wars. I admit I get reminded of Star Wars a little bit too often. But if you know Star Wars, you'll know that one character is being trained in his powers. He has these mind powers. And he starts being able to move stones around. But then he's asked to raise a whole spaceship out of a swamp. Well, he thinks it's impossible for him. He's persuaded to give it a go. And if you know it, you'll know this is Luke Skywalker. And Yoda, Luke Skywalker says, all right, I'll give it a try. Do you remember what Yoda says rather famously? No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. Not a great impression, but you remember it. It's small and green. There's all sorts of things going on. Do or do not, that is the question for us. Jesus cannot be saying, remove yourself from the world. Spend all your time in contemplative prayer. Because he's just told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Rather, here is the priority of hearing the word of God in a life of active service. Do or do not. But you need to be listening to Jesus. As we look in on this true story, we are pointed to the higher priority of loving God in doing what you do. And we'll see a vital corrective to a wrong attitude to service, which is how you do what you do. So there's a vital priority to listening to Jesus and a vital attitude in how we listen to Jesus. First of all, the vital priority of listening. Do or do not. But you need to listen. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, the American president, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. You can imagine everyone wants to come and speak to the president. But he complained that no one really paid any attention to what he said. So one day during the reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line, he quietly murmured, I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning. And sure enough, guests responded with phrases like, oh, marvellous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, sir. It was not till near the end of the line that the ambassador from Bolivia, his words were actually heard. I murdered my grandmother this morning. Slightly nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming, sir." It's a story of listening or not listening. I'm sure we all have stories of people where we were not listened to. But how are we at listening? How is our own listening? Luke records for us Mary, a woman. She's gathered with the men at the rabbi's feet. In that culture, quite a dramatic thing. But Jesus never left women out. He raised them up ready to listen to him. But while Mary shows a rapt attention to Jesus' words, Martha's distracted. She's pulled away by her serving. Now, she's busy for Jesus. She's dependable. We have sympathy for her. She's the kind of woman we want in our churches. She's providing. She's capable. She gets on with tasks. Maybe she had a particular gift of hospitality. She's certainly providing for the master's comfort. But do you spot that word in verse 40? It means that she's distracted. She has doings that distract and prevent her listening to Jesus. In verse 41 and 42, when Jesus speaks to Martha, he doesn't criticize her for what she's doing. It's good things that she's doing. But he's worried about her concern about others and her distraction. Maybe she'd been better off providing a lighter meal and taking some time with her guest. So will we be like Martha and allow our doings to distract us from listening to Jesus? Or will we be like Mary and choose what is better? If you follow Jesus here this morning, this is a warning against the sort of activism which distracts us from listening to our Lord Jesus. We're to keep his word at the center, whatever we're doing. We're to be sitting at Jesus' feet. Psalm 27 talks about that one thing, spending time with our God. Mary has chosen what is better. And Mary's choice is good at all times. J.C. Ryle, a famous old bishop, wrote, "Mary's choice was good in sickness and good in health, good in youth and good in age, good in adversity and good in prosperity, good in life and good in death, good in time and good in eternity." Whatever we do, we are to put listening to the words of God first. For some, this may mean more listening than speaking. The old thing about having two ears and one mouth. We should be turning to the scriptures before churning out advice, listening to what God has done through others and the experience of others before we are ready to share our own advice and experience and wisdom. For some, this may mean stopping or pausing something for a time. Mary and Martha, they're both sisters, so presumably they're co-hosts for this group. But while Martha was in the kitchen clanging pots and pans, probably going, oh, what's going on here? Mary stopped doing the job. How dare she? Well, she dared to stay with Jesus. Maybe you will demonstrate your love this week for Jesus by stopping, by leaving some dishes unwashed, some papers unread, the garden unsorted, to spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Even ministry tasks can and should be suspended if they're distracting from listening to Jesus. Do we need to reduce our busyness to maintain fellowship with our gods? And isn't it true that so often when we're busy, the first thing to go is our prayer life? I'll get round to it later. I just need to do this. I need to get that done. This good thing to do. Our time with God. It's a vital priority of listening, as we have many things to do to prepare for the return of Jesus. If you're not a believer this morning, Jesus claims to have the words of life and an ongoing life with God. We're made by God to know him and to experience his love. There's no other person, no other place to find contentment, purpose, fulfillment. And if so, well, obviously, there's a priority to listen to Jesus. What I've loved about my time with Dan and Steph recently is they have been willing to spend some time reading the gospel and actually hearing for themselves about Jesus. Whatever they make their minds up about, that's up to them. But they have been honest enough and have had the integrity to actually come and listen to the words of Jesus. We'll have a Christianity Explored course next term. And that's a particular course where we're going to read Mark's gospel together and listen to the words of Jesus. It's a time to ask questions and to chat together, to make up your own minds. But at least, first of all, listen to the words of Jesus. Here's some words of Jesus now. In John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Later on in that same chapter, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." This is clearly important, life-changing news. Listen to Jesus. Not just stick with what you think you know about Jesus, but listen to him. Well, Martha wrongly judged Mary's inaction. Mary's wisdom was spending time with Jesus. There is a vital priority of listening to Jesus. And secondly, there's a vital attitude of listening. Do or do not, but you need to listen. Do or do not, but you need to receive, because doings can be distracting, because they can be done with pride and the wrong attitude. C.S. Lewis, a famous author, wrote of the sort of woman who lives for others. Whatever she lived for others, she did for others. And you could tell who these others were by their haunted expressions, because this woman would follow them around. Or remember the story of the scouts. I don't know if you ever were involved in kind of Bob a Job Week, that sort of thing. The scouts helping the lady to cross the road. When asked why did it take four of you to help this lady cross the road? They answered, well, it was because she wasn't really wanting to cross that road. So it took four of them to get her across. There can be the wrong sort of help, can't there? As Christians, there can be a danger in serving. We can become so tied up in serving and doing the right thing that our relationship with God becomes dependent on that. If your role was taken away, who would you be before God? Would you still come to church? We need to take our work seriously, but not ourselves in our work. Do we need to be needed? One thing is needed: time with Jesus. And as Christians, there can be another danger in serving. As we take pride in ourselves, we compare ourselves with others. We think Jesus needs us. Ho-ho, we're on the good side. But what about these others who are not as involved, who are not turning up as often, who are not doing as much? We need to remember that we're all forgiven sinners. There's no sense in judging others. We just come to Jesus to receive. Martha's accusing Mary of selfishness, but she's self-absorbed. She says, "Jesus, don't you care about me?" Sort her out. Martha wants Mary to be doing the same work, maybe because she thinks, well, my work's more important. My passions, my particular thing that I'm involved in, that's the most important thing. To the busy Christian who might ask with Martha, "Lord, don't you care that these people are not involved with what I'm involved in?" Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, distracted in many ways. Remember to come back to the one thing. I am your loving Father God. What your brother or sister is up to is not a concern of yours." Again, if you're not sure what you believe this morning, we're reminded here that the Christian faith is about done rather than do. Doings, good doings that show love, they can never be good enough. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we all fall short. We all fail. Our pride and selfishness make a mess over and over again. And we live in God's world, ignoring his open arms to us. And one day we will have to give an account to God of how we've lived and responded to him. And all our doings, our thoughts and our attitudes, they will be revealed. But Jesus has love for you, which you need to receive. He knew we needed a substitute in our place. So in chapter 9, he says, "Who do you say I am? You're God's Messiah, the special one." He says, "Well, I have to go and suffer many things, be rejected, and I must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." And later on, as the time approached in chapter 9, it says, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew who he was and what he had come to do. He was God's Son, the Christ, and he'd come on a mission of love to be rejected, suffer horribly, be killed as a sacrifice for whoever would trust in him. He set out to Jerusalem to do it for me and for you. So don't rely on what you can do. Instead, rely on what Jesus has done for you. Maybe some people here are so busy doing good, you don't come to Jesus because you don't think you need him. You use good activity to keep Jesus at a distance, staying what you think is good enough or better than average. You don't admit your need of God's help. Today is the day to give up that self-reliance and ask for his help. Christianity is not about what you need to do, but it's about what God has done for you. Later on in the Gospels, we pick up Mary and Martha again. You may know the stories. In John 11, we see that Martha has a firm belief in the Christ, the raiser of the dead. She has spent time listening to Jesus, and this has given her a great hope. In John 12, Mary anoints Jesus with perfume, as if for burial. She has spent time listening to Jesus and has a great belief in Jesus saving death. Hearing the words of Jesus makes for a greater experience of discipleship, a greater hope, and a greater joy. So if you don't know this Jesus, can I suggest grabbing a gospel? Mark's gospel takes about an hour to read through. Listening for yourself to what Jesus has to say, the forgiveness and life he offers. It's vital to listen to him and vital to receive. And if you sat there as a Christian activist, this is a challenge. Are you holding to that which is the good thing, the most important thing? Time with Jesus, giving purpose and joy to all you're serving. Father God, may we know the joy of time with Jesus. May we hear his words, and may we serve out of the hope and purpose and joy we get of following our Lord. Amen.